Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Don't forget, you can join the Junks for our summer dress parties coming up this Saturday, July 14th. Starts at 4 p.m. It's brought to you by our friends at Corona. Corona is what summer wants. Enjoy and relax responsibly. Get your details at thefandc.com/summer. The most important detail is it's this Saturday and it's at 4 p.m. and we expect to see you there.
You know, I got quick story. You guys, you might get a kick out of this. I don't know. So my wife and I were playing tennis yesterday while my daughter had softball practice, and it's like 2 hours, interminable. It lasts forever. You know, the girls are 8, 9 years old. It's long practice. So we'll go hit tennis or whatever to kill time during it. And I saw in the background, actually on one of the courts, the two courts there, was a guy and his young daughter, and he was teaching his daughter how to ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I think I've told you this before. We feel like we're geniuses, that we have a shortcut to teach your kid how to ride a bike.
Right.
And it's because what every parent does, and we were guilty of it too until we figured it out, is you just get behind, you put them on training wheels or whatever, but when it's time to take the training wheels off,
yeah.
Like every parent does the same thing. You get behind your kid, you have one hand on the seat, you have one hand kind of on the handlebars there, and you just run along with them, and you try to get them to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a while. I mean, eventually all kids learn how to ride a bike, but it there's a shortcut that someone told us. I think it was actually Dina's mother, which is just let the kid ride the bike on the grass.
Right.
Because then they're not afraid to fall down.
Because if they fall down, it cushions it.
It cushions it, and then they get their confidence much quicker. Literally, we taught our three kids how to ride a bike in like 5 minutes.
It's pretty solid.
Just put them on the grass in the front yard and just push them, and they fall down 4 times. They figure it out. They're off and running.
Right.
And you literally can learn instantly. So my wife and I are playing, and we're watching the guy, and she's like, don't let go. Don't let go. And you see, it's the same thing that every parent ever goes through. The kid is scared. I know we're doing the bike with no handlebar song.
No handlebar.
I mean, it's funny. Right. It makes me laugh.
What band is that?
I don't even know.
So we're watching this go.
What band is that, Tum Tum? It's Flobots.
Flobots.
I get a little bit tired.
We're actually debating to ourselves. We go to the net. Like, you know, we hit three balls, whatever. Go pick them up. We go to the net. We go, should we say something?
Right.
No, we can't say anything.
Step in.
We can't say anything. It's a parent. You can't tell a guy how to parent.
You can't make him look stupid in front of his kids.
Exactly. I really want to say, listen, I really feel like I know a secret here.
Yeah.
I have three kids. You let her ride on the – instead of – and then someone else came to play tennis, and then he took the bike and the kid over to the basketball court.
Or you can just work on your drop shot and not worry about it.
Right. So that's what I said to my wife. I said, we have to mind our own business.
Yeah.
We feel like we're geniuses, and we know this one little – it's like one little secret.
You have a silly life hack.
It's a life hack. A kid can learn how to ride a bike in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're playing – we're out there for an hour. Sure enough, we decide we're not going to say anything. By the end of it, he got that little sucker to ride the bike. He did
really?
Figure it out. And so as we're both leaving, I walked to the car, and I never said anything. He comes up to me, goes, are you EB?
Nah, there we go.
You EB Bizzle.
He goes, I listen to you guys every morning. I love the show and everything. And then we got back and forth. And I said, congratulations to your daughter and everything.
Yeah.
So I probably should have said something.
People are weird, though. Yesterday, I'm leaving Cava. Actually, it was at Cava. And I'm walking with my family, and I'm holding Isabella. And I guess my collar was up. And this guy just randomly goes, hey, your collar's up. That's all he said.
Yeah.
And I said, okay,
you
thank you.
Phil Mickelson and back in like the late 80s.
I put it down. Like Isabella might have been playing with it, whatever. And I just put it down. And then later in the day, he tweets me and he goes, my wife told me to apologize. Sorry for being the fashion police. And I actually didn't know what he was talking about. I had already forgotten about the little collar moment. It was 1 second of my life.
Yeah.
Right. I said, what are you talking about?
Right.
And he said, oh, I ran into you in the parking lot and told you to put your collar down.
Yeah, you never
I said,
know.
Why didn't you just say you're a listener
yeah.
and, you know, we can say hello? And
I don't
he said,
know.
I didn't want to bother your family.
Right. It's weird. It never occurred to me in a million years that guy would have potentially been a listener. I was just so consumed with him teaching his daughter how to
ride
the bike.
Was it Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court Justice?
It was the Supreme Court Justice. But if you knew
he was a listener.
Then I would have said, hey, dude, I got a hack for you.
Right.
You can teach this kid how to ride that bike in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just put her on the grass, and she'll fall down 3 times, and she'll figure it out, and she won't get hurt.
By the way, thank you to our listeners. We got our ratings book yesterday.
Yep.
And for the second time in the last 4 quarters, we achieved something we never thought we were going to achieve. We hit number one in the ratings.
In mornings.
Beat WTOP.
Yeah, we hit number one in all the other day parts. We always thought it was pretty much unattainable in mornings. And we're supposed to have a party at Jason's house, but he reneged on that for some reason.
Yeah.
I still don't even know how he wiggled his way out of that.
Well, I just did. I just said I'm not doing it.
It's called changing your mind.
But you're right. I never thought it was a possibility.
No.
Not with the news station being the juggernaut that it is in town. So, yeah, thank you guys. And a lot of it has to do, let's be honest. I mean, we did it before, but the fact that the Caps went on that hot run was beneficial to everybody in this industry. And certainly we were able to ride the wave of that. So
huge.
Thank you. And for people that always say, oh, we thrive on negativity and we love it when the teams are bad. No, it's the exact opposite. When this town is on fire and gets behind, you know, a winner like that, there's nothing like it.
Ask the DJs in Boston how bad it sucks that their teams win all the time. ask them.
Yeah.
See what they say.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's big for us.
It's really, really big. So thank you to everybody. Let's hope it continues.
And I owe JP $100.
Yeah,
yes, you do.
Jason said, no chance that's going to happen.
I said, there's no way we're going to do it again.
You're just hedging.
Yeah.
It's a financial and emotional
hedge.
I will say this.
The Nats will probably kill us in the next book.
Possibly.
So
we'll just have to brace for that, but we'll enjoy living the now.
I mean, Last year's summer book, which is what we'll be coming up to, we hit number one.
Well,
so it'll be a direct comparison.
The Nats
this
were a lot
year's
better.
Summer
Nats were a lot better last year.
True.
Yeah. So they're dead right now. So we need them to pick it up. I'm not burying them. There's 70 games left, whatever it is, but it doesn't look good.
You're not burying them, but starting to make funeral arrangements. Like you're browsing
there's
a little
just
bit.
Too many, there's
you're
just too many
off
games.
The life insurance policy to check out the provisions.
You're looking at funeral homes every once in a while. They're right. Kind of catching your eye.
Do you think it's unfair to blame it mostly on Bryce? I mean, they've had problems everywhere. I mean,
no,
the starting pitching has had issues. There have been a bunch of guys that are having down years. The injuries. No one talks about Howie Kendrick, who's hitting 300, and they're never getting him back.
Yeah, but I mean, Howie Kendrick was going to be a utility player.
Okay, but he was going to play 100 and some games, and he was going to hit probably 280 to 300 for you.
Well, they're getting the production from Matt. I mean, they are getting production, you know, from Matt Adams and Mark Reynolds,
who are
utility players.
True.
So.
If your best player is having a year like that, I mean, I know the power numbers are there.
A catastrophic year.
But if your best player is having a year like that and you're struggling in the standings, yes, they're going to look at that best player.
But yeah, I don't absolve Davey Martinez.
I mean,
if
Max Scherzer was 2-9 right now, what would we be saying about them?
Yeah.
About Max?
I was driving around yesterday and filling in for Chad Dukes was Tom Lavero and Chris Russell, and they had Bob Nightingale on from USA Today. And he said there's chatter out in San Francisco. Now, of course, Dusty Baker is, I think, a consultant for the San Francisco Giants now. But there's chatter in San Francisco from all those people like, look what happened. Dusty's gone.
Right.
And a lot of talk about how the bullpen has been managed and things like that. Which is funny because there was a lot of criticism of how Dusty used the bullpen. Dusty was supposed to blow out all these arms. It never really happened.
No.
By the way, if Dusty was here, there's no saying that they'd be 4 games up in the division.
No, right. We don't know.
I'm
pretty sure if Dusty was here, Bryce would still be hitting .213.
I don't know about that. Because
I
don't know how you quantify those things. Like every year when there's a new manager and we've interviewed them, they talk about their coaching staff. Like last year it was all about, you know, Greg Maddux taking over as the pitching coach. And I don't know how you quantify those things because they must have an effect. There's a reason they have those coaches. So there can be a reverse effect. If you have somebody that you're comfortable with, and then all of a sudden, maybe some things are changed and tweaked. I don't know.
Wasn't Bryce very neutral on Dusty towards the end? Didn't he give?
It wasn't a big ringing endorsement.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who knows?
Look, I don't know.
Who was a lot of people
to me,
year?
This is
Rick
Shue.
Rick Shue. Yeah.
To me, it's on
when
Bryce.
You get new managers, you're going to get new coaching staff.
To me, it's on Bryce. It's on Bryce. It's not on the manager. He's the one that's supposed to carry this team for weeks at a time.
But Murphy
was not. He's actually dragging him down.
Murphy was as good maybe even a better hitter the last couple of years than Bryce Harper. And he's been hurt most of the year. And then, look, he had a four-hit game to raise his batting average to 250. They need both of those guys to get going.
For sure. For sure.
Because Eaton's actually doing his job. I think Rendon's doing a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah.
Trey's all right. I think we maybe expected a little more
Bryce
from Trey.
Bryce is the one. Bryce and or Daniel. Murph. But Murph's been hurt. Yeah, so he's been banged. Give him a little bit of a break.
Being, you know, having Zim out hurts, but the guys filling in for Zim,
have been fine.
Adams and Reynolds are putting up numbers.
Yeah, they've been
fine. That's true. I mean, I'm not going to say as much.
You lose a little defense at first, but for the offensively, you're right. Those guys have picked it up.
But the Murph effect to me is not just his bat, because his bat was in a position that you don't necessarily expect a great hitter. And so they're going with Defoe, who is what you kind of expect from a second baseman.
Yeah, like a
so
two,
it's great
to
kind of like steal like a power hitter at second base.
Right. No, it definitely hurts.
But Murphy loved Kevin Long. Murphy loved him.
I understand that.
I think Murphy's going to be fine. I think he's going to be fine. He's going to limp around the bases. But
I get it. I know people call up, and I've heard it on other shows. They want to blame Davey. They want to fire Davey. They want to fire Kevin Long. I mean, these are baseball players, and most of them are vets.
Yeah. That's why I say it's on Bryce.
I mean, it's not like Kevin Long came in and changed nine guys' swings.
No.
I mean, come on.
Probably's done very,
these
very little.
These guys are baseball players.
Probably done very, very little with those guys.
Like I said, it's hard to quantify. But if it was 100% on the players, then why even have the coaches? Why even have a manager?
Well, I don't know.
They could have
the
a self-manager.
NBA's got 15 coaches.
They all know baseball.
Do they all need those coaches? I mean, who knows?
Because managers see things during the game that players might not see.
Right.
Players have other things to focus on.
I don't think a manager is directly responsible for a guy's batting average, a guy's strikeout ratio, and all that stuff. I mean, you know.
I don't know. I know that this year, they get thrown out a lot on the bases. I understand it happens to every team.
Happened to them for several years.
It seems like it's happening more frequently this year. I'm sure we could do a breakdown. They're getting shut out more this year than ever before.
It's a bad year. That's what it is. Not over.
You know, but look, there are a lot of factors.
Maybe they even need
I don't think
week
it's
off.
Unfair to blame Bryce the most.
I'm blaming him the
He's
most.
He's a bigger player than Tanner Roark, but I mean,
Bryce
Tanner,
has a bigger impact.
There's no way you would have predicted that Tanner's going to give up, you know, seven runs every time he starts.
He's having a dreadful year.
I don't understand it. I don't understand. Maybe he just overachieved for those
Gio
three or four years.
Gio having a dreadful year.
You can also blame Strassi a little bit.
Except you expect
what, that he gets hurt?
Him.
Well, it's not like he was lights out when he was pitching, when he's healthy.
He had moments where he was. He did.
At times.
He did.
But he's a $175 million pitcher.
Yeah.
Well, it shows you that.
I mean, he's got to be.
Shows you the pitching market's a little overinflated.
I mean, he's
got
to
be
1A to max. He's got to be out there. Yeah. He can't get hurt, and he can't miss. How many starts does he miss? 10?
Well, he misses them every year.
I get it. That's why I'm saying you can blame him.
Someone pointed out, remember when Max, I think he broke out of that streak, right? Remember when he went that streak where he went winless over those five games or whatever the hell it was?
He was giving up one run.
He had two runs of run support in a four-game stretch.
Right.
They weren't scoring for him.
Right.
Why? What about that?
Well, there's if they had gotten normal run support, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like four or five more wins, and then it would be a kind of a different story. You wouldn't be as negative about them as
about,
you are right now.
About who?
The team.
Yeah, they'd be, you give them four more wins, they're 50-42.
Oh, yeah,
not great.
Right, but that's a toll. You're not nearly as negative.
Yeah,
where's 50-42? Where would that put them right there?
Right there. I mean, I think the Phillies have 50 wins.
Yeah, be right there.
Something like that.
Luckily, they're in the NL East.
Yeah.
If they were in the AL East, it'd be over.
Oh, yeah.
So even as bad as the pitching has been, like not as expected, if they had, you know, if they gotten their typical run support that you would expect for Max's starts there where he pitched amazing, we'd still be right in the middle of it.
Hey, but we want them to get going because, yes, we've hit number one twice, but this Caps run certainly helped. I heard what the ratings were the day after the Caps won it, and I heard what the ratings were during the parade. They were a show.
Yeah, you have to tell
Good
me because I don't know.
They were a show.
You know, the All-Star game is here in less than a week. You know, next Monday and Tuesday just could be bananas. Mm-hmm. But I just don't hear the buzz on the phones about the All-Star game. Does anybody care?
I know it's going to be sold out
and all that, but I just don't hear the
buzz. It has not been a big deal yet.
I mean, I don't hear the buzz. I don't feel the buzz around the station. I don't hear the buzz on the phones.
No.
You know, some people
kind of lacking.
A couple people have asked me if I'm going. No, I'm not going, but it's not like people are saying, we're going. I mean, I just don't know if there's any buzz out there for it.
It's funny, too, because that's something that you look forward to for years. You know, like when you get announced, oh, they're getting the All-Star game in 2018.
The last All-Star game in D.C. was in 1969, before we were born.
I think there's a little bit. I mean, this is just anecdotal, but at least two of the valets at Homewood Suites have mentioned the All-Star game to me.
Because they're going
to
be working it right in the center of it.
I know, but it's just a part of that 1 minute of small talk.
They're a minute away from the ballpark.
Are you pumped up for the All-Star game?
They're a minute away from the ballpark.
I get it.
I haven't run into anyone that's... Actually, I had one person at church a week ago mention the All-Star game to me, and he works for the Nats.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I've had one person.
Maybe that's just my vibe, but I just don't feel it.
Yeah.
Or maybe next Sunday, Monday,
I think you
home
realize,
run
when
derby.
I'm telling you, home run derby. When it's here and people are seen out at the bars and stuff.
Yeah. A lot of this is the afterglow of the Caps winning the Stanley Cup, because I think the same thing with the Redskins, that usually we're dying for Redskins
this
training
is the
camp.
Deadest offseason ever.
There's been less
for the
buzz
Redskins.
Looking forward to Redskins training camp, but we're going to start to try and get it going because we're 2 weeks out from Redskins training camp. JP Finley covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. Joins us next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You've kept me sleepless every night. I swear this is the last one. Trying to brush you off, but you keep stumbling into my songs.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP. 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Remember, on Saturday is our annual summer dress party. Starts at 4, brought to you by Corona. Corona is what summer wants. Enjoy and relax responsibly. Get more details at thefandc.com/summer. All right, we're just a couple weeks out from NFL training camps opening up. JP Finley covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. He joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, JP?
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, hey, you going to come out to the summer dress party this year?
I want to. Last year I had a blast.
Yeah.
But with the All-Star game, I have to work Sunday night because Josh Norman's playing in the celebrity thing. And then I think I have a ticket for both the Derby and the All-Star game. So I might have to kind of be a husband and father on Saturday. We'll see how it works.
That's usually how it works.
I get it. No biggie. It's all good.
I'd like to be there. It's a fun time, man. And Whitlow's last year was packed.
Oh, yeah. It's always packed.
And it will be again.
It's always packed. All right, so tell us what's going on with the Skins. I saw they picked up a guy in the sixth round of the supplemental draft. I guess I'm supposed to be excited about that. This is the deadest offseason, and I'm grateful for that. I'm sure there's been things that have been going on, but because of the Caps run, we just haven't been paying attention. Get me up to speed on my Skins, JP.
Yeah, big picture, you're right. It's been pretty quiet. You know, the draft was 3 months ago, and there hasn't been a heck of a lot going on since. The move yesterday, I don't know that it should have you excited, but I think it was a smart strategic move for the organization. They spent a sixth-round pick on a guy that could help them at corner. A kid's name is Adonis Alexander. He's in the supplemental draft because he's been ruled ineligible by Virginia Tech to play this fall. It was actually like a really good supplemental draft class. The Giants drafted a kid out of Western Michigan named Sam Beal with a third-round supplemental pick. And just so fans know the supplemental draft, all this means is they give up a 2019 sixth-round pick now. So it's not like this is a pick they don't have. In fact, they have extra sixth-round picks because of compensatory picks from last year. So they're still going to have sixth-round picks. This really made sense, and the biggest reason why is there's no better organization really in the NFL right now to kind of scout and understand Virginia Tech football players than what the Redskins have. And if you think about in the past draft, they took two kids that are Hokies. They took the big man, Tim Settle, nose guard, and then they took a corner, Greg Stroman, late in the draft. And the other thing to remember is the Redskins' defensive backs coaches, Torian Gray,
right,
who coached at Virginia Tech before the Skins plucked him out of Blacksburg. And Gray even coached Adonis Alexander his freshman year, and that's when Adonis was a freshman All-American. He looked really good. The guy's got size. He's got talent. You know, I think he got busted for smoking pot when he was a young player, and then the academic issues. You can't rule out the issues, but I think for a sixth-round pick, when you have multiple sixth-round picks, this is a strong move at a position of need, frankly.
So is there any way of knowing where this kid would have been drafted if he was eligible for the NFL draft?
Well, I think it would have mattered if he came back, played his senior year, and kind of had his act together and put together a good year, because he's shown plenty of flashes of ability. I think this isn't a guy that would vault into like first, second, third round. I don't think the big question is speed, and his 40 time for a corner isn't wildly impressive. I think he's like a 4.6 guy. I texted with some folks on the Skins yesterday, and they aren't as worried about the speed because they think he plays faster in games. And I think what they like is his size and range, and think he could be good at the line of scrimmage, disrupting receivers trying to get off the line and kind of disrupting timing for offenses. And that's the plan for him, I believe.
JP, what was the – you mentioned a pot thing. What was the off-field stuff? I think he had some positive drug tests I had heard, but what was the reason why he was ruled ineligible?
The things – just academics. And I don't know if that's not going to class or failing tests or what.
That's like remarkable. That rarely happens.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the one thing you got to, I think, Redskins fans, a lot of people are really excited about this, especially kind of like in the social media space where, like, it's easy to just see a highlight tape and just think he's awesome. But if you can't, you know, I think at a school like Virginia Tech, there's so much invested in athletes to keep them eligible, and they have tutors and study halls and all sorts of stuff. And if you can't make that commitment, is he going to be able to handle an NFL workday where you have meetings and watch tape for hours, and then you have practice, and then you go back and watch more tape? I think that will be interesting to see if he can make that transition. And, you know, there is something to – he's going to be coming in to the Redskins rookie class late. Like, he can play right away, but he hasn't been there for OTAs, hasn't been there for minicamp, hasn't kind of adjusted to the life of a pro football player. And that's not an easy transition, especially if it's somebody that has – trouble, you know, maybe just going to class or doing the basic studying. But I also think school's not really for everybody. You know, like, maybe he's better at just watching football than he is going to biology. I don't know.
I'm sure.
JP, something that bubbled up in late June, and we'll see how this unfolds during training camp, was Zach Brown talking about having it out with Terrell Pryor when the Jets, the Redskins, have a joint practice. So I'm kind of looking forward to that subplot when training camp opens. When does that joint practice start? Do you know at this point?
Yeah, so those are after the first preseason game. So camp opens, and I can't believe this. I mean, it's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yep.
And they'll be in Richmond just practicing. The first preseason game, I believe, is August 9th in New England. And then they come back to Richmond after that. So I think it's the 11th, 12th, 13th, the Jets will be down there. And then the Skins will play the Jets that Thursday night at FedEx Field. So, you know, if Terrell Pryor is practicing, he hasn't done much, if any, offseason work with the Jets, because the ankle injury that landed him on the IR last year here with the Skins has apparently flared back up there. And it wouldn't shock me if we don't see Pryor on the field much during those joint practices, and the Redskins players that are interested in getting their shots at him don't really get a chance.
What was the beef about? I missed it. Why were they beefing?
So, Zach Brown is right, frankly. Terrell Pryor last year in training camp was just showboating, kind of as frequently as he could, and he was posting videos of all the one-handed catches he was making, and then Zach Brown says that Jay Gruden didn't let the defense really get any shots on Pryor at all, and not even just like hitting him, but he was protected to the point. There was one, the one scene I remember really well, and in hindsight makes a ton of sense. There was one play down near the goal line where Pryor subbed himself in against, because he realized he had one-on-one coverage against Deshaun Phillips on the outside in a red zone drill. If you remember Deshaun Phillips, a really nice guy, he's a fringe roster guy, didn't make the team last year. And Pryor just called for the fade, went up one-handed, caught it over Phillips, and just stood there preening. And people were going nuts because this is kind of the most packed corner of training camp where there's a lot of fans. All the fans have their phones out for Twitter videos, Instagram, whatever else. And Pryor made a huge scene about it. And it, whatever, it was a cool catch, don't get me wrong. But in that moment, I saw how angry the defense was. Then, fast forward a week, if you remember, Bashaud Breeland got thrown out of a walkthrough because he got so frustrated trying to get physical with Pryor at the line of scrimmage. And then coaches were like, look, you can't do that. Breeland kind of fired back at the coaches. They threw him off the practice field. In hindsight, both of those situations are because, I guess, per what Zach Brown is saying, the rule from the coaching staff is they weren't allowed to touch Terrell Pryor, even at the line of scrimmage. Wow. A normal bump, a normal bit of physicality in coverage you would use as, you know, a defensive back doesn't have a lot of weapons in with how refs call the NFL now. So I think those guys just got so frustrated, and now Zach Brown is like, you know, we'll see who's hot dog, and we'll see if he comes over the middle and he catches a forearm to the back. So,
you know, I like to showboat a little bit.
Hey, JP, Cakes and I made a couple of wagers.
Oh, yes, we did.
Some prop wagers on
Which
Josh.
We like to
do. I'm shocked, guys.
Yeah. On Josh Doxson, okay? I want to get your feeling.
Do I know these? Did you do this in the last couple days?
Yeah, we did yesterday, I think.
All right.
And I want to get your feeling of where you would side on these, okay?
So I want to hear, too.
I hope J.P. Finley's on Team Cakes here.
I set the total number of catches for Josh Doxson at 55.
Oh, under.
And remember, there's an injury caveat as well.
He's got to play 13 games for both of these bets, okay? So okay. Josh under. Doxson at 55 catches and total touchdowns, I set it at 6.5. Cakes went over on both, and I took the
I
under.
See you right, see
what
right,
what
right.
do you think about those?
I like the over on TDs. He scored 6 last year, right, and that was on 35 catches. He has that athleticism in the red zone to go make plays. I think Alex Smith will give him a few more chances than Kirk Cousins did. I don't know about the catches. He had 35 catches last year. His catch rate, now not all the balls were great, but his catch rate was below 50%, which isn't really gonna get much done. I think Doxson could have a much better year. That's a good number you set at 55, because I would think if he goes over, you're talking 58, 60 catches. I think it's right in there. I like the TDs. I think he could get to 7 or 8 touchdowns. The catches is going to be right in there. Under the injury caveat kind of makes it that I would probably take the over,
mm-hmm,
but there's also going to be a lot more weapons. Paul Richardson's
right,
going to get
exactly
catches.
You would assume everything, Jordan Reed's going to be healthy. Assume.
That's a, I don't know why.
That's
you'd
a huge,
that,
huge assumption, but I'm assuming he's going to be, you know, yeah, play more games than he did last year.
Is there any update on that?
Park. I saw him at the park maybe 2 weeks ago, and he was moving around well. He was like dribbling a basketball, just kind of messing around, and he looked good. Talked to him briefly, said he feels good. That to me is the biggest question mark going into camp, because if we haven't seen him do anything, OTAs, mini camp, Gruden said he's good, but if he starts camp on the PUP list, that's a full year,
right,
that this foot injury has been an issue, because he started camp last year on the PUP list and everybody was shocked.
Yeah, that's incredible. All right, real quick, what are you looking forward to? I can't believe we're 2 weeks away from training camp. What's the one big thing you're looking forward to most about camp?
I want to see Darius guys run with pads on when the D-line can actually hit them. There's been so much excitement generated by that kid, and I think it's good. Honestly, the Skins right now don't have a lot of stars or even like high profile players, maybe Josh Norman, but you know, they could use the energy that Darius Geis brings, and on a football side of things, they need a run game, and if he can help them there, I think the defense should be better. I think the D-line should be much improved. It's interesting to see what kind of football team they have.
Hey, yeah. I, you know, what happened with Junior Gallette? I mean, I know they let him go, and I thought he was thinking about playing, but now it looks like from reading his social media, he's decided he's done.
No, well, what I saw maybe yesterday or 2 days ago is he said he's not retiring on Twitter, and that, you know, if an offer came back now, that he'd come back. So somebody asked him, you know, if the Skins put out a 2-10 offer, he said, and his reply was, "I'd pull up right now." I don't think, from just looking at Junior Gallette's career, if you're going to put the time and effort in to come back from consecutive torn Achilles injuries and miss 2 years and then come all the way back, I don't know why you'd retire now. I think it appears maybe he misplayed his hand in free agency and thought he was going to get more money than he got. And while you can be steadfast in March and April about getting more cash, now that it's July and camps are going to open, maybe kind of what you're looking for changes.
Well, and Dez is still out there too, right? Dez Bryant?
Yeah. Rogers Cromartie's still out there, if you remember. You know, the Skins talked to him a whole bunch. Bashaud Breeland's still out there. There's going to be another wave of signings. Now, whether that's once guys start getting injured, we'll see. But, you know, that's kind of the sad reality in the NFL is there's going to be a number of training camp injuries, probably in non-contact drills, that teams are going to have to then make some roster moves.
Right. All right. Thank you, JP. Appreciate it, buddy, as always.
Thanks very much, guys. I hope the party goes great this weekend, and hopefully I sneak out and join you for one or two.
Be nice. All right. Thank
awesome.
You, pal.
Thanks, JP.
See ya.
All right.
Coming up a little bit later, Rick Hora is going to join us. He's a sports business analyst. We will talk about the business of sports coming up at 8:20. Aaron Hawksworth in studio will talk about the summer dress party. But let's get the phones popping again. 800-636-1067. It is Open Line Thursday. We talked some Nats earlier in the show. Nats seem to be floundering still. Right at 500 at 46-46. We keep waiting for them to take off. You could talk about the Redskins. What are you excited for? Maybe it is Darius Geis. I think that is the number one thing fans are excited for.
Well, he's going to be the flashiest thing. But I think that, I just can't wait to see Alex Smith run this offense. I can't wait to see a veteran.
Everybody goes offense. Remember, their first-round pick was a defensive player out of Alabama, Jerron Payne.
They need help.
Maybe
there.
Their defensive line's going to be stout with Payne and with...
Stout? That's a big leap.
They got two Alabama studs.
Weren't they the worst at stopping the run in the entire league last year?
Yeah, but that was when Allen went down.
Allen, what did he play, five games?
Okay. Yeah. When Allen was there, their stats were pretty good.
I know, but let's go easy on Stout.
All right, I'm just saying you can be excited for that.
Improved
defense. 800-636-1067. What are you excited for when it comes to the Redskins as we're just 2 weeks away from training camp? All right, we just talked to J.P. Finley. He was at last year's summer dress party. We're back at Whitlow's on Wilson. It's this Saturday. Starts at 4 p.m. Whitlow's on Wilson, where it's good times with good friends. Get more details online at thefandc.com/summer. So we hope to see you this Saturday. Rooftop bar should be a blast. We were talking to J.P. Finley about the Redskins. And it's funny, EB brought it up that there hasn't been as much buzz. My theory is it's just the Caps hangover. People haven't gotten fired up yet. Still glowing.
People still reveling in the Caps win. I was watching videos of the Caps beating the Vegas Golden Knights in Game 5. And I keep thinking to myself, I'm beating myself up over the fact that I didn't go to Vegas to see them clinch on Vegas ice. I should have done it. Kind of regret not
going. You can go for when they raise the banner.
Yeah.
I know it's not the same.
It's not the same. Kind of regretting not making that quick trip.
But you're still buying gear. Like in the last week you bought gear.
I can't stop buying gear on Fanatics.
Maybe that hasn't been as much focus. But we want to throw it out there. 800-636-1067. It's Open Line Thursday. You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines. One of the topics you're throwing out there is, what are you excited for? I do think most people tend to think offense. And I get it. You want to see what Alex Smith is going to do. You
want
to see what Darius Geis is going to do.
I don't get excited for defense.
Right, your fantasy.
Yeah, but defense is going to win. Like, that has been a
huge
weakness for the team.
Sure, but you ask me what I'm excited about?
No, it's Geis and Smith.
I think it's Alex Smith, too. I mean, Geis, of course. But think about it. Alex Smith has won 11 games three times, 13 in 2011. Albeit those were better teams. But you got a veteran quarterback in here that's been there, done that, that's in the prime of his career. I can't wait to see what he does.
He's been making
with this
the playoffs
offense.
On a regular basis.
He's a, you know what? He's a winner. We didn't know that early on in his career.
He's a life winner.
But he's a winner.
He's a big time life winner.
Yeah. Huge life winner.
And by the way, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a good golfer from
but
what I've
But the
seen
criticism with
heard.
Him is what he does in the postseason, which isn't yeah. much.
That's fine. Hey, we'll worry about that when we get
he's
there.
A great regular season. But, yeah, I know, but all you want is the, you just want a playoff bid.
Caps never did anything in the postseason.
The standards are lower here in D.C. than they were in Kansas
I'm
City.
I'm just saying
start.
What the negative is on him. The
By
critics.
The way, as an aside, I've seen some social media the last few days about RG3.
Yeah.
Of course, he's with the Ravens now. He was working out with Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
It's good.
And
is he even going to make the team?
I think it's going to be tough. He's got Lamar Jackson ahead of him and obviously Joe Flacco.
I mean, it just depends if they keep three.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, maybe he can. He really needs to sell himself on being a great locker room guy, a great guy in the quarterback
yeah,
room.
That, always
is
been
that
his,
possible?
It's always been his MO.
I think he seems like he's had a bit of an epiphany.
I don't know if I'd want my young, high draft pick, a quarterback, hanging around RG3 in the locker room.
Maybe he's matured a little bit. Maybe he's different.
I think he's matured to an extent because I think it might have been TMZ. It was like somebody following him in an airport. I think he was in California, probably in L.A., and they asked him about his 2012 season. He said, I'm tired of talking about 2012.
Right.
Well, it is 2018.
Right.
So it's good. Anyway, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Right now, the phones are showing us, yeah, there is no buzz.
Well, Skins
fans no one's thinking about
and Jason says there's no buzz in the All-Star game, which
it's
may be true, too.
True.
They announced the home run derby.
Yeah.
So Bryce is going to be part of that. They also announced that both Josh Norman from the Redskins and John Wall from the Wizards are going to be part of the celebrity game. And I'm intrigued there.
I can only imagine.
Because I remember John Wall's first pitch.
Oh, it was terrible.
When he had the opening pitch.
Dreadful. I mean, I love John Wall.
Terrible.
I'm a big old mark for John Wall.
He threw it about 40 feet.
It was horrendous.
It was awful.
So I can't imagine him.
When
I can't believe a guy
game?
That's that athletic.
When and where is the celebrity game?
I'm not sure. Is
I think
that
it's on Sunday.
Yeah, typically it's on Sunday.
Gotcha. What were you saying?
I mean, I just can't believe that a guy that is so athletic in one pursuit, in basketball, can be so bad in another, in throwing a baseball.
I've seen it too many times.
I know, I've seen it plenty of times, too.
Oh, you saw it way back with me when we did the Iverson softball game, which has to be 15 years ago. Cakes and I did this thing at the Bowie Bay Sox Stadium, basically so we get some free shoes.
Right.
So we went out there.
Still squeakers.
Who else was in that?
I mean, there was some
Kevin
big
Garnett
names.
Was there.
Garnett
big
was there. Yeah, Garnett. Oh.
Garnett, Stackhouse was there. Iverson obviously was there.
Huge names.
The biggest of the big. Fat Joe the rapper there.
Brian Mitchell.
B. Mitch.
B. Mitch gets bitter because I saw him swing and miss, and he swears it didn't happen. I saw it.
But it just showed you. What year was that?
Oh, that was. I think that was during the HFS years.
Yeah. It was a long time
Early
ago.
Early 2000s.
Probably 03, 04.
I just know that when they had – how many times have they had the All-Star game at Camden Yards?
I think
probably
just once.
Just that
just
one
once.
Time?
Just the one year.
I remember all of that vividly.
I remember going to the Home Run Derby that year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what year that was. Does 93 sound right?
I think that's right.
And Juan Gonzalez hit a home run, and I swear to – I was standing in the left field bleachers, and the ball was still going up. As it hit the mm-hmm. second level.
Right.
It was still rising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to the celebrity game and saw Tom Selleck jack one out.
Selleck, right. Yeah. Patrick Ewing was
nubby. Flo Joe was nubby.
Ewing was nubbini.
Slow Joe. Slow Joe.
No, I said Flo Joe.
Oh, I thought you said Slow Joe.
Florence Griffith Joyner. She was Arctic. And then MJ was Arctic.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Arctic.
Oh, who hit a home run the other day? Somebody took BP. It surprised me.
Odell Beckham.
Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr.
He was smashing him.
You know what? Not that surprised.
Yeah. I mean,
not that surprised, right?
All right, let's go to the phones. Open line Thursday. Who's up?
All right. Let's see here. Let me see. Let's go to Mitch in Chantilly. Mitch, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
What's going on, Junks?
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, bud.
Big thing I'm excited for is our pick on Paul Richardson. I think him and Alex Smith will be a big connection because Alex Smith had Tyreek Hill. Of course, he's not Tyreek Hill, but he definitely has that deep ball threat. He definitely has the speed. And I think it's going to be a big change for our offense to happen.
Yeah, they need that effect that they got from DeSean Jackson.
Right. They need that game-breaker
exactly.
type. And
part of it is
Richardson
a clear
brings
out.
That.
And I saw one of the reporters who was covering, you know, the mini camps that said that Paul Richardson was running – a lot of those routes, which Deshaun ran, which a lot of times you're a decoy to open it up for the other guys.
Like Doxson, so hopefully he gets 55 catches.
Right.
But he does need to make that step. I mean, a guy drafted as high as Doxson was, he can't just be a guy that grabs 35 balls, 40 balls in a season.
Hey, you joked on me when I gave you that story in 5 and 10 the other day. He goes, he expects to have a big year.
Well, kicks a lot of weapons.
I know, and a new quarterback to assimilate with. I get it.
If those weapons can stay healthy, I know that's a big if. But if they can,
you'd
then
be bitter when Josh Doxson has his 2 reception game and Chris Thompson has 8 and Geis has 3.
That'll get
the
me salty. But what I'm
banking on, because that's what Alex Smith likes to do.
Yeah, but it's fine. What I'm banking on is Jordan Reed will play 6 or 7 games and he'll like stub his toe and then he'll be out for the rest of the year.
And the touchdown
bet, Doxson has to stick on a bigger load.
Your touchdown bet is dicey. Didn't Alex Smith go an entire year without throwing a touchdown to a wide receiver?
He'll probably throw 14 touchdowns to Vernon Davis, the backup tight end. That's probably what's going to happen in 2018 with Alex Smith. Who knows
what's
going to
happen? Well, he might throw 10 or 12 to Jordan.
Well, that's if Reed is on the field long enough to catch 12 touchdowns.
All right, open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. You can talk Redskins. You can talk Nats.
If Reed's not healthy this year, all right, let's just say he misses half the year.
Yeah.
You got to cut him loose.
Move on.
Yeah, you got to cut him loose.
I agree. I'm tired of it.
You can talk All-Star Game. You can talk World Cup. Your chance to steer the show on open line Thursday here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.